Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Days 22 through 28. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 22. But I want my work for God to be seen. For years I sought to be significant for the kingdom of God. I looked to find a calling from God that I needed to pursue and do something magnificent for Him. I was generally looking for ways to serve God that were meaningful and fruitful and large. Rarely, if ever, did I seek to find anything to do for God that was completely insignificant or that no one would ever notice. One day, I challenged one of my men when we left the breakfast table with these words, "Sir, if you worked diligently on a project for God, and it had all sorts of fruitfulness and success, and someone else took credit for that, for all that you had done, would you be okay with that?" He quickly replied, "Absolutely not. This would be what I would expect of most sincere Christians." Yet Jesus' way was not to draw attention to himself at all. When we want to get credit or thanks or applause for anything we do for God, we are not really doing it for him. We are doing it for ourselves while claiming to be doing it for him. We are selfishly promoting ourselves rather than him and his kingdom. Unless and until our gifts of service are purely for the love we have for God, they do not possess the quality of those acts of Christ himself. His were born out of intimacy with his Father and a love for us. A life of consistent love, joy, and peace in the midst of even our worst and darkest circumstances simply cannot be attained without a selfless love for God's people and enormous love for him. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 23. Very good deeds can be the enemy of the soul. An enemy of the soul can be something which appears to be extremely good. According to our way to measure, we look at religious activities in our church, our mission work, and so forth, as things that would please God. We attempt religiously and fervently to please God by engaging in these activities. But in many cases, that's not what God desires of us. Busyness for God often comes between us and true intimacy with God. Intimacy is a state of being wherein I know my lover so completely that I no longer need for them to state what they desire. Our lives should be completely and wholly devoted to developing intimacy with God that is like a honeymoon or a deep affection for one extremely dear to us. Once we achieve intimacy and come to the place of total surrender to the desires of God, then and only then are our activities in the likeness of Jesus. Jesus was walking about ministering to people on earth as he did for them what God desired. An important thing to remember is even Jesus Christ himself did not act of his own desire. He did not act out of his own sympathies. He did not act out of his own intelligence or comprehensions. Jesus did not do anything in order to draw attention to himself or to be applauded. Jesus consistently and frequently conferred with his Father. We can only do the will of God when we know what it is. As Jesus put it, "I have come to do the will of my Father." Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 24. Mercy without justice would make the cross abusive. It is pretty common for us to take forgiveness of sins lightly. This seems to run rampant in our society. A prevailing thought is that everyone will receive forgiveness from a loving God in the end. Yet if there is no real consequence for sin, there is no impetus to behave in any civilized manner. This notion couldn't be farther from the truth. God's character and nature is that he must provide justice for everyone. Even love demands justice. Justice for victims requires punishment for the predatory behavior of the villain. Fortunately for us, God provided a means of payment for our sins through which we could receive a full pardon while his justice is also satisfied. Jesus Christ was the manifestation of God in the flesh. He lived a life that was absolutely sinless and perfect, and God chose to let Jesus suffer our punishment. Jesus was condemned to death and slain by the religious leaders of God's own people. And to show how great the grace of God is, in his dying breath, Jesus uttered these words regarding the people who murdered him, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." So when you think of your forgiveness, remember that you are so cherished that God gave himself fully to pay for your wrongdoing. He did this by his death. It was extremely painful, bloody, and humiliated. Naked, raised on a cross in shame, he suffocated to death. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 25. Humiliation is not humility. Humility is elusive for two reasons. One is that we have not properly defined the term, and two is that we assume that when we are humiliated, we have been made humble. Actually, when we are humiliated, we are proven to be proud, for it is our pride which causes us to seek acceptance, respect, and favor from others. We are humiliated because we have not received any of these three affirmations. It is also noteworthy that we set ourselves up for humiliation any time we attempt to gain a good reputation with any other human beings. All the others are at the same time seeking the same thing from us. Yet we are generally so busy trying to gain the favor of others that we fail to favor them. So a pursuit of affirmation, acceptance, respect, and favor from God and him alone would be the pursuit of humility. And to be sure, no matter how great our accomplishment or good our intentions may be, many people will still hold us in contempt rather than favor. When we define humility as having only the concern as to God's affirmation of us, then and only then can we attain it. When I become completely devoid of any interest in my reputation before men and satisfied in God's opinion alone, humility becomes my lot. Examine your life. Consider your lifestyle. Look at your finest points of service for others in your daily experience. Ask yourself, am I looking for affirmation? Am I hoping someone notices the valuable contributions I made? Or are you satisfied by having done something that pleases God and him alone? When everything you do or say is only to please God, then and only then is your motive pure. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen. Volume 2, Day 26. Up Close and Personal with God. How can we become intimate with God? For that matter, how can we become intimate with anyone? All relationships hinge on this one thing, proximity. And this is not necessarily proximity in space. It is ever, only, and always proximity in spirit that brings two persons into intimate relationship. This is not about agreement on any or all points of view. This is about an unconditional affection of one spirit for another. It is no wonder that the Bible stated, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Yet for many of us, God is quite distant. But consider this. Since God gave you life and breath in the first place, it only makes sense that he wants to be near you, actually with you. We see this in our families as well. So if there is any distance between you and God, it is because you have chosen to keep the distance. So what's the solution? The only way for us to draw near to God is to spend time with him, to get to know him, to know his heart, and to know his ways. You may choose to spend time with God in a reserved place at a specific time of day. However, if that is the only time you consider his presence with you, intimacy will not occur. Just as with your significant others on earth, your intimacy with God is directly related to the amount of spontaneous thought you have about him through all the moments of your day. Although our days are full of busy, we frequently think of our love for our significant others. Let God have this same consideration, and your life will explode with affection and desire for more of him. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 2, Day 27. Pushing the Clouds Away. It is interesting that when we dream, or night dream, about the ones we love, we seldom get distracted by other thoughts. Yet when we think about God, we are often plagued by distractions of all kinds. Our focus drifts or jerks from one place to another. Suddenly, we realize that we have lost our focus on God, and we pull ourselves back to thoughts of him. In order for our focus on God to be as steady as that for our earthly loves, we may need to practice concentration. It is essential that when you get into your place of quietness before God, you must be still, you must listen, you must be teachable, you must wait for the Holy Spirit to speak. Most of the time in our quiet time, we reach for the Bible, we read intently and ponder what God wants us to understand from the passage. Or we go to prayer and we're praying a list of prayers for a list of people and the list of circumstances, which becomes nothing more than a constant running of our own mouths before God or running our own minds before God. Mostly we beg him to remove all of our discomforts and distresses and give us pleasure. Next time you enter into your prayer closet, be still and wait, and be still and wait. Push the clouds of distraction away and be still and wait. Wait until the Spirit of God reveals what he wants you to draw from what you just read or from your own heart and mind that you've memorized or know well from times before. As you practice this, you will discover that the wandering and wool gathering become less and less until they no longer exist. Deeper Every Day by John Henry Allen, Volume 2, Day 28. The Good News and the Bad News. Most people consider evil to be a force beyond our control and which must be overcome by good. And to be sure, it would be wonderful if evil could be eliminated entirely. Yet we cannot overcome any bad thing if we are operating in the wrong place. Consider this. Surgical removal of your healthy kidney would not keep my failing kidney from killing me. The guilty, failing organ must be removed from the vessel in which it is contained. The truth about evil is that it is not out there somewhere working against me. It is inside me. Evil is any conflict between two individuals or groups. The source of the conflict, evil, is forcing another against their will. Notice that E-V-I-L is L-I-V-E, spelled backward. And in a sense, evil is living backward. The more we are willing to accept each other as is without any changes, the greater our peace. Additionally, since we are selfish by nature, it is impossible for us to achieve this peace without the help of the Spirit of God within us. The good news is that God offers his love and relationship, Spirit, to everyone. The bad news is that most refuse to accept his offer of relationship and remain alone in the world and estranged from God. So when God comes courting, just say yes. You can rest assured that he will be the most faithful of anyone with whom you will ever share relationship. His love for you will be deeper and stronger than anyone else in the universe. He is and will always be the perfect father, mother, sister, brother, friend, and mate for you if you will let him be.